If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Well, it's time for Travel Tales with Fergal, and Fergal O'Keefe is with me in studio. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you and happy travel to you and all of that kind of thing. Before we talk about travel in general, can I talk to you about what we've been chatting about this morning? I suppose people may be feeling in danger when they travel, particularly women travelling on their own. You were talking about the Camino in particular, Virgo.
Yeah, it was funny actually. When I was on the Camino, it was something that I was very aware of. The very first day, actually, I remember just seeing a woman with a backpack going past on her own, and it stood out to me because yes. I went, "Gosh, that's unusual, and is it safe?" And I was talking to my guides, and they were very much, "Oh yeah, like an awful lot of people." Women walk on it and they feel very safe. But it was funny that it stood out for me. And then the day after, we were going into a village, and it was so unusual. Like, I took a photo of it going into the village, and there was a sign, like the village sign up, like you see in every village in Ireland, yeah. on the way in on the road. There was actually a sign that says, Moorsabel was the village, does not tolerate sexist aggression. And, you know, I took a photo of it.
Isn't that interesting? Mm. Yeah.
And then it got a conversation going because I started talking to the guide about, you know, was there a lot of sexual aggression? And they said no, but they wanted to make it very clear. And actually then at the same time as I was talking, a special police car drove by, and she said they were like tourist police. So they were there specifically, and they watched us as we were going by, and they said they were specifically there to keep an eye on, because, you know, a few years ago, actually, a woman was killed on the Pyrenees coming in. Mm. But, you know, I think they became very aware of that then.
Right.
So you did see a lot of women walking on their own, and they felt very safe. And then there was as a few days wore on, I got a bit more, you got used to it, whereas when you're walking up to someone, you'd sort of say, everyone says, "Bon Camino." And, you know, sometimes they would talk to you and sometimes they'd not. But it was so, you know, it wasn't like you, I think the Bon Camino actually was a lovely thing because it was a way of saying
of
hello
course it was,
and
yes.
you're welcome.
Yeah.
So it was there in the background. And, you know, I've travelled a lot over the years, and with my wife, and when we were, you know, students, etc., with Emer, and we've always felt safe. There was never a time, you know, well, I suppose there was, now I'm thinking about it, I suppose there was occasions, but I was always with her and nothing ever has happened in her life. But
yes.
we would have always been aware of it, say, particularly in India. You know, we got chased. I think I mentioned it before. We got chased down the street, and there was a little bit of an attitude there towards women. But maybe that's why the Camino one really stood out.
Yeah.
And they're working at it, though.
But the notion of signage is interesting, isn't it? Yeah,
I think so.
Might something that we could,
yeah,
could think about here, maybe.
I think so, because, you know, on walks, you'd say along the river, because when you put it up, it does get, because that's the key now, is we have to.
It focuses you.
Exactly, yeah. And we have to be able to be open about it. It got a conversation going. And I think that's the key now, is people talking about these things and being open about it and having conversations, you know?
Yeah. And you know, when you're walking on your own, because certainly when it's my case, I'm very careful that if there's a woman coming towards me, that I don't seem threatening to her in any way, and that I'll give her space. And
exactly.
It's important to keep that
in totally.
Mind.
Like, and I walk every day down on the river on the Blue Way. And exactly, I'll always do that, is I, you know, we'll walk to the other side.
Yeah.
I'll always say hello. Although it's funny, I was walking there at the weekend and I said hello to someone and they were kind of looking at me.
I know, I often find that too.
So,
you know. And that's okay too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Yeah.
But I just didn't know if it was connected with this, you know what I mean?
No.
Because I do it, I always smile and say hello to people to put them in. So in a way, I suppose I am thinking about it subconsciously.
Yes.
I do all that. Or I will walk, I will make sure, I will speed up to get past, someone, to make sure they know,
that you're not stalking them behind or something like that. Yeah, it's we have to be conscious of that more and more, I suppose. On a happier note, confidence returning to the international travel scene for 2021, I guess.
So we're talking about trends today, and we talked this time last year, we talked about the same things, and I was looking back at my notes and it kind of looks a bit quaint in a way, because I remember we were talking about Qantas, and Qantas, the CEO, yes, who's Irish, and he was saying that they would maybe introduce a COVID passport. And I remember we were going, gosh, I'm not too sure if people would go for that. And you actually said, you know, about rights, etc.
Yeah.
And now a year later, we've become used to
it's
that.
The norm.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a line that I saw over the weekend in an article was, it said, we used to have two documents when we were getting on a plane, like our boarding pass and our passport. And now we have four documents.
Yeah.
So we also have our locator form and we have our COVID cert. So it's become, we've become used to it. We've become, I think, more accepting of it. And I that's why I would be much more optimistic going into this year compared to last year. Because even last year, my prediction was going by the end of the summer, we should have vaccinations. Hopefully,
yes.
We didn't even know at that stage if we would have vaccinations, you know.
Of course. The pent up demand that's out there, will that cause problems? I mean, I think of pricing and the
So it's a very tricky thing because the airlines have reduced capacity because of reduced demand. So then they will increase capacity when there's increased demand, but then there's going to be a lag. So unfortunately, that's where it gets tricky. Is that you know, I think there will be more demand than supply this year, so that will affect prices. And I was looking at prices, even just say I was looking at Greece in 2019, and I was looking at the prices, and they were sort of you know, maybe a third more expensive than they were in 2009. And this is during, and there is sale, this is with the sales going on. And you know, travel agents now, they would say 40% of their sales traditionally would have been in January. But that, you know, there's because of Omicron and the uncertainty, that hasn't happened in this January. But what the word is that they're saying that the January this year will be in March, and that's when all the bookings will happen. So then the kind of the tricky thing is getting that balance between waiting to see how things settle down and getting your booking in before everybody else gets in there.
And what about the vouchers, I mean, that people might have for the flights or for hotels, indeed?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I still have from my trip, our family, like, we haven't had a family holiday since 2019. Or, well, 2019. So our one I had booked before March in 2020. So I still have most of that voucher to use. So I'd say there's a lot of people like me that still have vouchers to use, then, which, you know, you feel like they're free flights, but they're not, because you bought them.
You paid for them, yeah.
But also then I know people that booked hotels, say, for 2020 and then got moved them to 2021 and they're getting moved again to 2022. So there's all those people that will already have bookings
to
use.
Right, so it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about Airbnb? What has happened there? There's sort of a change in that.
Yeah, there was, and, you know, maybe it'll change back again. My guess is it might, but during 2020-21, when the bookings were dramatically reduced, an awful lot of Airbnbs then went into long-term rentals instead of being Airbnbs. So that means the number of availability for Airbnbs has been reduced, and again the prices went up. I mean, I was looking at a place that I was going to go to, I had been to a few years ago, and I was going to go again, and the price, like, you know, gosh, it was like three times or four times more what it had been then. So prices are going to be going up. And, you know, I was actually talking about this earlier on to Emer, my wife, and she's going, good on them, you know, for for airlines and for Airbnb and people like that. You know, they've had a tough few years, so, you know.
So they'll have to make a few bombs somewhere along the way. Okay, so we're down then to where we go. And our travel habits, will they be different, do you think, because of, you know, we've been curtailed so much over the last few years?
So there was talk, you know, there was talk about this time last year, I was saying that the trends were going to be like, you know, say for camping, for outdoor, to go to less crowded. And theoretically, you would be saying that it will be the same again this year. But I don't think it will, because one, the most popular places for that are being searched or booking are Alicante, Faro, Lanzarote. So
the old stomping grounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's for a few reasons. I think one is because people want to go to places they know.
Yeah. And
they want to go, you know, they also, I think people are ready to go. I think the floodgates are going to open.
Yes.
I think people are optimistic. And I think now that idea of going to quieter places, I think people, in a way, they're hoping that they want to go where there's going to be a buzz, where there's going to be excitement, where there's going to be people. So I think that's going to be a little bit different. So right. I think the optimism, my guess, I know it mightn't seem like it now, but I think as the year progresses, people are going to get more optimistic and they will be going for places like that.
Interesting. Now, of course, to go to these places, we need airlines, we need planes, and there's some new routes.
Yeah, and a couple of interesting ones, like Ryanair going to Madeira, which is you know, it's an island off the African coast, which is part of Portugal, but it's absolutely beautiful. I actually know someone who's out there at the moment doing remote work, and it looks amazing. I've been on Zoom calls with the girl, and showed me out the window what it looks like. It's supposed to be gorgeous there and sunny already. Even now it's like 27 degrees. Wow. So that's supposed to be gorgeous. Then another place, actually, I was supposed to be going here to Malta. To Ryanair are now going from Shannon to Malta. I was actually supposed to go there in March 2020. So I was holding off. And it was funny because at the time, I remember my flight was at the end of March. And even at the start of March, I was going, sure, maybe by the end of March, this will have sorted itself out, you know.
Oh, you old optimist.
Yeah. So that's another one.
Where else?
Another one, Turkish Airlines now are from April, are going to be starting a new route from Dublin to Antalya, which is an area in Turkey that I'm mad to go to. Like, it's a beautiful area where there's these, like, it's like beaches, not as packed as other parts, like, of Turkey, with what I love, like, it's mountains down to the sea.
Oh, lovely.
And, you know, it looks absolutely amazing. So that's an area I'd love to go to myself. Mm. And so that I would recommend that when I was, you know, the flights. It's a long enough flight, actually. It's like I was looking at it there over the weekend, 4.5 hours,
is
you know.
It?
So it's nearly, yeah, which I think is amazing. You know, you think of Murray, that's nearly like getting to New York.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I would really recommend for people. It kind of reminds me of say, my favourite place is Peloponnese in Greece.
Yes.
And it's similar like that. So I would really recommend for more adventurous people that would be a spot to go to.
Very good. And Iceland as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned this before. I think you've been to Reykjavik, haven't you?
A good few times, yeah. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, and there's a new airline now that's been set up called Play. So I think it's in April as well. They're going to start going out there. It's a new budget airline.
It's so bloody expensive out there.
Well, that's it.
That's the only thing, you know.
That's it. It's ridiculously expensive, you know. So it's like a budget airline. So the flight might cost you nothing, but, you know, you spend a cup of coffee will probably cost the same as the flight.
I know.
It's one for a very special treat.
Yes.
You know, like,
remember back in the 90s, a pint was about £11.
Yeah.
It's just crazy stuff, you know. Where? Santorini?
Yeah, Santorini in Greece. So they started that last year, but, you know, I put it down because a lot of people wouldn't have gone away last summer. So that would be Santorini. Yeah, I'd really recommend that. That's an island, one of the Greek islands, but that would be a great base to go to all the other islands, like all those islands around their Cyclades. So you could fly there, and then like Eos and Paros and all those islands are all around there, and there's boat networks. There's boats every half an hour that you could go to. So that'd be a great one to get to the islands directly.
Oh, sounds lovely indeed. That notion of the friendcation, you know, whether it's the big birthday, the stags, whatever. Yeah. That'll be one of the trends that will pick up pretty quickly, I suppose.
I think so. And like that last year, it was sort of, you know, it was like remote places and things like that were saying the trend. Mm. And now we're saying this year, going on when I was saying about the floodgates opening and people are mad, I think, to get out and see a bit of the world. Like, one of the things I said last year is like city breaks. People wouldn't want to go on city breaks. And I think it's going to be the opposite this year. People are going to want to see other people. And so friendcation, that's like going for, and also they say, like, you know, like people who had their 50th last year or their 40th or 30th or even a stag that they couldn't go away, they might go away now, you know, with friends. So I think that's going to be a bit of a trend.
I love this notion, because we can work remotely now, at least some of us can work remotely now. There is that idea of working from a holiday as well.
Exactly.
So love that.
Because we talk about work from home, and now it's work from holiday.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be able to do that, because, I mean, whether you're, you know, in your hotel room on your Zoom call or whether you're doing it from home. So that's a trend. And as I said, I know someone that's doing it from Madeira, and places like Madeira give special visas or tax incentives. Barbados do it as well.
Oh, so they're targeting people.
Very much. And they like also a place I went to before Christmas was in Portugal in the mountains, and each of the villages were putting these like remote working centres where you could go in, like a bit like a library, where they've all everything set up where you can remotely with internet and everything free to encourage people to go to those places. So that's going to be a big thing, allowing, because they want to encourage people to move back to the mountains, you know, from the cities.
Sounds great. What about people who won't be conscious of their carbon footprint, though, we won't take the airline?
And that's the big trend. I've noticed that with articles, like an awful lot of like tourist articles now, travel articles are about travelling overland by boat. Moncon McGann, actually, at the weekend, he's a travel writer, but he's not taking planes anymore. And he wrote an article about Spain, southern Spain, but boat, train, so he doesn't take, you know, and that's going to be a big thing. And So it's something I'm going to talk about in the next few weeks, maybe even next week. We'll talk about train trips.
Oh, because
I love that.
I love that. I want to do the famous one, and one of these days when I come into a lot of money. Just a quick word on staycations, because people may still opt for that.
Yeah, I think they will. That's another thing that, you know, like for the last 2 years, people have got to appreciate Ireland again and again. It's with the uncertainty, or people worrying about family members, about our grandparents and things like that. So I think staycations will be another thing again this year.
Very good. And again, that's something that we'll home in on at some point or other. Travel Tales with Fergal, you're up and running again.
Yeah, and I have my biggest episode my biggest episode is actually going to be this week. So it's Anthony Bourdain. I don't know if you know him, but he's a writer, you know, with CNN.
Yes.
And he was an amazing character. So I've interviewed three people for that. That's coming out tomorrow.
Right. He's a foodie, isn't he?
Yeah, so he was a foodie. He originally wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential. So things like now, you know, you go, don't get fish on a Sunday or Monday. He was the guy that said that in that book. It was the start of the noughties.
Yes.
Then he started doing TV shows, Parts Unknown, to the level where at the end, he died, in 2018. But by the end, like Obama asked to go on his show, and he had a show in Vietnam. Yes. One of my guests actually is a Patrick Radden Keefe, who wrote a profile for him for the New Yorker magazine, and he was in Vietnam with him when he did that famous one with Obama, and he talks about, I would say, the definitive profile of Bourdain. So I have him. I have Laurie Wulliver, who was his assistant over 10 years, and she's just written a oral biography. Mm. Brilliant one. So I have her as well. And then I've got a guy called Paddy Daly from Ennis, actually, who I grew up with, and he was his producer in Ireland for any of those shows whenever he did it in Ireland. So I have the three of them. So it's about his life.
He took his own life, didn't he?
He did, in 2018. And that's the amazing thing. You know, like as Patrick said, you know, he had a life where he was traveling the world, eating amazing food. You know, you could call it a fantasy life, but even still, you know, that's what I'm always saying. Like it's not the person, you know, sometimes people go, oh, they've got everything, but that's not really how it works.
It doesn't keep the demons away.
Exactly.
As they say, that's for sure. Have you a kind of a bucket list for podcasting this year? Have you?
Have I? Yeah. No, I do. I have a big long list of people to interview. I have some great ones coming up now. So I have a Portuguese special coming up, and I've got loads. Actually, I'm interviewing a guy on Thursday, which will be an amazing one. Damien Brown, who tried to do Everest in May. And now he's going to row across the Atlantic in about 3 months' time. So that's going to be amazing. We're looking forward
drives,
to it.
What drives these people? It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fergal, it's always a pleasure. And great to have you back. And thanks very much indeed. Fergal O'Keefe there. Travel Tales with Fergal, if you want to look up his various podcasts. That's it for me. Emma produced. Stephen's on the way with the Time Tunnel. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.